Please turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And you guys listen very quickly because I'm going to talk quickly because I know the hour is late. But hadn't it been fun to be in the house of the Lord already this morning? Ah, there's just a good feeling about that. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. And again, this is for all of us, but it is specifically for our graduates. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And listen to this. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Every Sunday, I look forward to coming to church. I hope you do. I look forward to coming to church for the fellowship, for the Sunday school lesson, to shake your hand, to give you a hug, to see everybody and just be lifted up and edified. But I got to confess, I always enjoy coming on Sunday mornings to hear Mr. John's stories. He's got one ready. He's got one ready. And sometimes they make me laugh, and then days after, I think about it again, and it's just as funny as it was when he told me. I love stories. I love to hear them. I love to tell them. I think stories are powerful. I think there are lessons taught by stories that we would seldom learn any other way. The greatest man that ever walked the face of this earth taught in stories. Do you realize that? Jesus taught in parables, in stories. Why did he do that? Because stories can grab our attention and they can kind of pull us into that world. They can stir up emotions. They can move us to action. It's hard to beat a good story. They're powerful and they're important. And this morning, I want to spend a little time talking about a very special story, one that isn't complete yet, and that is the story of your life. When you break it down and define it very simply, a story is really just a telling of happenings that are connected, or a connected series of happenings. Up to this point, as graduates, you've had quite a few happenings in your life. You can point to certain things. Today, we stand at the culmination of one of the happenings in your life, a graduation. Stories have got three main parts: the character and the plot, and the setting. And I'd like to talk about each for just a couple of minutes. First, I'll address the plot, then the setting, and finally I'll touch on the character. Now, the plot is the story itself. Everything that has happened to you in your lifetime has brought you to this point. Do you realize that? Last night, and I didn't time it this way, but last night, some people in our graduating class from 1981, they said, well, we're all turning 60 this year, and it's been 42 years since we graduated. Let's get together for a reunion. And so we did. And there was probably 75 or 80 of us there last night. I don't know how those people got older, and I never did. I don't understand that. No, it was the opposite way around, trust me. But we got to talking about old times and things that we did, fun that we had, things we shouldn't have done. But all of it was part of the plot of our story that brought us to that point. I mentioned to one of my friends, I said, yeah, you know, I think about some of the things you and I were involved in when we were teenagers. I said, and it just makes me shudder. I said, I wish I could go back and change it. And he looked at me and he said, oh, I do too. He said, but you know what, Roger? It made us who we are today. And I get that. I get that. You know, when I was growing up, I wanted to be a fireman. How many of y'all remember the Uncle Paul show? That dates you, right? I was on the Uncle Paul show. They asked what I wanted to be. I said, a fireman. Uncle Paul said, do you know what farmers do? I looked at him and said, they put out fires. Are you a nut? But I got a little further on and I found music, Miss June. And my desire to be a fireman disappeared. I wanted to be a musician in a band. I wanted to be on the big stage. I wanted to play Madison Square Garden one day with Lynyrd Skynyrd. That's what I wanted to do. And you know what? I never got a chance to do either one of those. I mean, firefighters have a care for people. Musicians share their talent that makes people happy. And even though I never got a chance to be on a big stage with music or be a firefighter as a pastor, I've had the opportunity to care for a lot of people. God's allowed me to use the talent he gave me in a lot of other ways for him. And you know what? I am so thankful for that. The plot of your life is important. That's that beginning story. All of these things have played into the plot of my story. And your experiences up to this point have played into the plot of your story as well. Now, within each story and closely related to the plot is an idea of conflict. Every story is going to have that. Some type of conflict. It may be a difficulty that is faced by the characters. It may be a problem that has to be solved. It might be an adventure. Whatever form it takes, conflict is going to be there. I know. I've been there. You can expect conflict in your life. You probably have experienced some of that already. You've probably faced difficulties, solved problems in your life, experienced an adventure. Can I tell you something this morning? Conflict is never going to end. Well, thank you, sunshine. Conflict is never going to end. But understand this, I don't mean it in a negative way in total. You can look at it in two ways. There may be difficulties and problems in life. Expect them. Just expect them. And when they come along, embrace them. Because you know what I found? It's amazing how many obstacles often prepare you for tomorrow's opportunities. You've heard it said that when one door closes, another one opens. I think that's really, really true. When you face an obstacle in your life, and you will, just remember that it is likely, God is likely using that obstacle to equip you for something else down the road. Life will not always go your way. I got the best wife in the world. But when I want sympathy, what do I get? She starts singing, "You can't always get what you want." And she knows I'm not lying. Many times I've just wanted her to put her arms around me and say, I know, honey, we'll work it out. Well, what I hear? I hear that. Get used to it. Get used to it. Learn from it. Grow from it. And second of all, life is going to be an adventure. It really, really, with all the bad things in this world, I've got to be honest with you. I love the life God has given me. My mother-in-law, and she's probably listening, she told me one time, she said, I worry about you, son. You work for a company. You pastor a church. You go to see people that are sick. You play for us when we go to sing. You're a father. You're this, you're that. She said, I'm just worried that you're doing too much. And I told her this. If you get news tomorrow that I've gone on, know this. I went doing something I enjoyed. Everything I'm doing, I enjoyed. Do I get tired? Oh, absolutely. Bone tired. But if you ask me, what do you want to give up? The answer is nothing. Because I feel like God has given me an adventure in my life. An adventure is defined as an exciting or very unusual experience, a bold, usually risky undertaking with an uncertain outcome. You know, when I read that, there are descriptive words of an adventure that just excite me. I mean, words like exciting, unusual, risky, uncertain. You know what? The reality is life is all of those things and even more. Even more. Life is going to be filled with moments of excitement. Enjoy them. Life is going to be is going to involve the unusual. English lit teacher would call that a plot twist. It's something's going to come along that you don't expect. And I'll give you a living, breathing example. Me being a pastor. I shouldn't even tell you this. And I'll probably regret I did. But I will share this with you. I never expected to be a pastor. Never in a million years. You could ask any one of those people at the reunion last night, did you ever expect Roger to be a pastor? They would have laughed in your face. I remember when I was at Powhatan, there was a guy there. He and his wife attended church there and his children. And one night he and I were locking up, and back a lot of years ago when I played with this band called Satisfaction, he was one of our roadies. He would go and help set up the equipment, and we were locking up the church. And I looked at him, I said, you know what, man, I said, it is really cool that, you know, we've known each other this long, and after this many years, I said, you know, you and I are here in the same church serving God and worshiping God together with our families. I said, that's kind of neat. He said, yeah, that is cool. And I looked at him and I said, but I got to be honest with you, bro. I said, never in a million years did I think he'd be one of my deacons. And he didn't miss a beat. He looked at me and he said, I never expected you to be my pastor neither. That's a plot twist. You see, God saw something in a mess of a teenager that he could use years later. And I stand here today, and I'm just going to tell you the truth. I thank God that he did. I thank God that he did. Those little adventures, those little side trips that God leads you on, he may have something intended for your life that you've not even considered. Be ready for that. Because those unexpected turns, those adventures in my life, those times of risk and uncertainty and excitement have turned out, for the most part, to be some of the best things that have ever happened to me in my life. Life will ask you to take risk. Evaluate them and then jump in when it's right. Life will be uncertain. expect the unexpected. Now let's take a look at the setting. And I promise I'm hurrying along. The setting is where the story takes place. Since our lives are more like novels than short stories, many times people's lives play out in different settings as they move around. I think I'm probably one of the exceptions from this because I live about 100 yards from where I grew up. I was born and raised in Johnston County. I've had opportunities to move away, but I chose to remain here. And I can see that even now God had a plan in all of that. The company that I work for, I've had opportunities to move. I've turned all of them down. I remember one example. I had one of our people from Ohio call me, and he wanted me to fly up and interview for a job that he had in mind for me. And when I found it was in my wheelhouse, financially it was good, it would have been a fun job. And he said, I said, well, where is it based out of? He said, right here in Columbus, Ohio, on the 29th floor, Plaza One. I said, nope. Why not? I said, it's not in Johnston County. Just that simple. I'm not willing to give up my family and move away from them. I wasn't willing to make that compromise, and I flew home. Ginger asked me, she goes, what happened? I said, offer me a job. She said, do you want it? I said, yes, but I don't want to move. She said, I'll move with you. And then she said, but Mama's going to have to come. I turned it down, and you know how God worked it out? 2 weeks later, as I'm driving down I-40, that same man calls me, and he goes, I really want you in this role. What if I can work it out where you can stay where you are? Tell me that's not a God thing. Now, the next 3 years were like being in military. It was a tour of duty. I was all over the countryside. But you know what? I will tell you, that experience allowed me to connect with people that I deal with to this day all across the U.S. My setting was technically here. But that position offered me to get to know a wide range of people that have truthfully benefited me in my career. It was an adventure and an opportunity that I'm thankful that I had. You see, no matter where you go or what you do, these experiences will help to make you the person you are to become. Perhaps some of you will be travelers, while others will be homebodies. Whatever your makeup, your story will be affected by this setting. Now let's talk about the character in your story. That's the most important part. You see, without a character, the plot and the setting don't really mean anything. Today we're here because of you, because of your story, your life. You're the main character. Right now for our graduates, it's all about you. Not after we dismiss. But right now, it's all about you. I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. Develop the main character in your story. Develop mentally. Learn all you can about something that you're passionate about. Take advantage of people that want to teach you and help you and offer you an opportunity to further your education. You'll never regret it. But most of all, focus your mind on Christ. Remember what Paul says? He said we need to renew our minds daily. You see, the reality is you'll never be able to influence the world until you prohibit the world from influencing you. You've got to show Christ to them. Develop yourself physically. Take care of your body. I got in trouble. I was eating Big Macs every day. A Big Mac's okay once in a while. But take care of your body. Take care of yourself the best you can. Develop yourself socially. Be careful of the company that you keep. You know what? We're known by our friends. There may be many friends that are beneficial for you to have, and there may also be other friends you just have to let go. You just have to let go. Doesn't mean you don't love them, but you don't need to let them bring you down. If you find friends that are having an adverse effect on you, it's time to move away from them. But the most important thing to develop in your life is your spiritual life. Submit to God. Resolve to live your life for Him. Don't let anyone tell you any different. The best decision you can ever make in this life is to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I used to have a friend named Ralph May. Ralph has passed away now. Ralph is dead and gone, but he was the defensive coordinator for the Marshall University football team. And Ralph used to use this from time to time. He would say that there are four areas in your life that are like four wheels on a car: your family, your work life, your health, and your faith. And he said, if any of those are out of whack, your car doesn't run right. You need to pay attention to all of those. The reality is that most of us, especially when I was your age, graduating from high school, I thought the most important thing was, what could I make financially? How big of a house could I live in? What kind of car could I drive? How much money could I eventually make? But you know what? In the end, all of those are just things. That's all they are. They're just things. They don't define your character. They don't define the person that you are, the main part of your story. I submit that the internal story is the most important part. Your external life will simply be a mirror of your internal reality. So please allow me to revisit the passage that I read at the start. And I read this passage from the King James Version. This is what I use. This is what I study from. But I use a lot of different translations. So if I may, let me share this verse 1 and 2 from the Message Bible. And this is JOCO language, okay? We all can understand this. Listen to what it says. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. I kind of like that translation. What is Paul reminding us of in this passage? Well, first, he reminds us we need God's help every day. Listen. You guys are graduating with honors. You have accomplished wonderful things by graduating from institutions of higher education. You're all smarter than me. I'll admit it. I hope you guys are so successful you can help me when I'm old. What I mean, when I'm old, I am old. So. But understand this, as smart as you are, you need God's help every day. Every day. All the time. His mercy, His help. And it begins with you placing your faith, hope, and trust in Him. He also reminds us to submit ourselves to God. And what he means is submitting everything, all of our life. Do you hear what I said? Not 98%. Not a 50-50. All of it. All of it. Nothing held back. Paul says, that's your reasonable service because of what he's already done on Calvary. And then he reminds us, don't be conformed to this world. You're not going to have a teacher or a principal looking over you 24/7. You might not even be at home as much as you've been, so maybe mom and dad aren't looking over your shoulder as much as they were. When you get out there on your own, there is a temptation to conform to the world. Trust me. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I know that's easy for me to say, but I've been there. That Bible that you were just given will provide guidance and direction to you if you'll read it and study it and follow it. And by doing this, He'll change you from the inside out instead of allowing yourself to be conformed to this world. I don't know what the next chapter of your life is going to be like. Only God knows for sure, but He knew when you were born, because my Bible tells me that we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. You know what? You're not junk. You're something special. But I do know this for sure. If you'll place your entire life into the hands of God, He'll lead you in the right direction. I can promise you that. You may not always understand it. You may even question God, is this the right move? It's okay to question God. But you better be prepared for the answer. And I also know this. God will always be with you. He will always be right there. He's got plans for you, even if you haven't got them figured out just now. But it starts with you making Him head of your life. And understand this, I'm not speaking to you as your pastor. I'm talking to you as a friend. A 60-year-old friend with gray hair and wrinkles and getting more. But I've fallen in enough holes that I don't want you to go through that. I really don't. Here's the good part, though. My story's not done yet. But I know without a doubt I'm on the right path. I'm right where God wants me to be, doing what God has called me to do. And I'm glad I listened to Him before it was too late. Because I can look back now and I can see He never abandoned me. He never forsook me. There's no more important advice I could give to you this morning as a friend than this. Put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ. And then live it. And then live it. For all the rest of you, now your story isn't over either. All of us, our story's going to end in one of two ways. They're going to end with us sharing one long, endless day with Jesus Christ. Or they're going to end with us being eternally separated from Him in hell with no chance of escape. As I mentioned, those praise and worship songs chosen today were done with our graduates in mind, but they're really for all of us. For true success in life, we got to stay near the cross of Jesus. We got to realize that we all need the Lord in all that we do. We've got to surrender to Him all of our life. We got to praise Him for what He's done for us, morning, noon, and night. We need that living hope that can only be found in Jesus Christ. And most importantly, if you don't know Him as your Savior, a decision needs to be made today to follow Jesus with no turning back. If anyone here or listening in today, if you've never came to a place where you've asked Christ into your life, this is the day to do it. Your story's not over. Make sure of the ending. Eternal life in heaven with Christ. Start your new story, the future, chapter 1, by accepting Christ today. I want to leave our graduates with a short poem from Natasha Bedingfield. And it speaks about writing your story. Feel the rain on your skin. No one else can feel it for you. Only you can let it in. No one else. No one else can drench yourselves in words unspoken. Live your life with arms wide open. Today is where your book begins. The rest is still unwritten. So write well. The right will. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, it's been a privilege to honor our graduates this morning. But Father, their story is just ending one chapter and beginning another. You know my heart, Father, and I pray for nothing but success for them. But it all starts with you. Father, if they gain the whole world but lose their soul, what does it matter? And above all else, Father, right now, for all of our graduates, for all of our people, for everyone here or listening in, I pray that they have a personal relationship with you. But if not, Father, let this be the hour that they receive. This time is yours. Have your way right now, Lord, is my prayer. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.